Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Today I want to talk about the components of gestational weight gain. I'm going to look at the two outcomes. One is for the mother's postpartum weight retention. The other one is the offspring body mass index. I have no conflict of interest to claim. First, I want to give you a brief introduction of the components of gestational weight gain. Then I want to show you some preliminary data analysis results I have completed recently to look at the consequence of gestational weight gain components. So that would be why the mother postpartum weight retention, the other one is the offspring 7-year body mass index. Finally, I want to give you some implication and future research direction. As you see before, the Institute of Medicine 2009 guidelines did not consider the fact that the gestational weight gain is a kind of mixture of different components. So here I list several components here. That would be the fetus, placenta, fluid, which also includes the amniotic fluid, increased blood volume, and extracellular fluid. And also the maternal tissue that we include uterus, breast tissue, and adipose tissue. So you can see biologically they are very different. So I hypothesize those components have a differential impact to the mother and the child health. So these figures show these the timing and also the velocity of the growth of these different components. You can see they have very, very different starting point in terms of increase and also velocity. For instance, the increased blood volume start very early, but kind of end by the second trimester. However, if you look at the fetus and placenta, it just continue to increase. It started to increase fast later pregnancy, but continue to increase by the end of the pregnancy. So this kind of picture show the components of these four gestational weight gain. So you can see the fetal plus maternal tissue and fluid weight, they take about 1/3 each of them. Then placental weight is kind of 5%. So I have two aims for this analysis. First one is to look at whether these four gestational weight gain components are differentially associated with the postpartum weight retention. Aim two was to look at whether these four components are differentially associated with the child's 7-year body mass index. So I used existing data from the Collaborative Perinatal Project, or CPP, which was a U.S. pre-birth cohort established during 1959 and 1965. There were about 12 academic hospitals participating in this project across the United States. The original sample for this cohort was about 60,000. However, for this analysis, I will include about 1/3 of the eligible mothers who delivered live singletons and also have complete information on these four gestational weight gain components and confounders. For the mother's postpartum weight retention analysis, the sample size was even smaller. However, when I compare this about 20,000 sample with the full CPP sample, they are pretty similar in terms of the family or mother's social demographics, gestational weight gain parity, and the child sex, gestational age, and birth size. So I assume there's potential selection bias is not that huge. The exposure variable are the gestational weight gain components. So the mother self-reported a pre-pregnancy weight at registration, and the medical staff measured the mother's height at registration and the mother's weight before delivery and 1 to 7 days after delivery. And also they measured the fetal and the placental weight right after delivery. So based on those information, I calculated the total gestational weight gain as the difference between pre-delivery weight and pre-pregnancy weight. And for the fluid weight, I made this assumption, which actually was evidence-based. So basically, I assumed most of the fluid weight gain is lost in the short period of time after delivery. So it would be 1 or 2 weeks. That would be include amniotic fluid and also mother's increased blood volume. And also extracellular fluid. You guys may be familiar with that, many mothers lose weight fast in the first 1 or 2 weeks. I assume most of them will be the fluid component. And then I can calculate the maternal tissue weight as the total gestation weight gain and the sum of the fetal placenta and fluid weight. The mothers self-reported their weight at 3 to 36 months postpartum. The mean was about 11 months. So I then I calculated this postpartum weight retention as the difference between the 3 to 13 month postpartum weight and the pre-pregnancy weight. For the child, the medical staff measured then weight and height at age 7 years. Used that information, I calculated the 7 year body mass index as the 7 year weight in kilogram divided by 7 year height in meter square. In this analysis, I considered two potential effect modifiers of the pre-pregnancy BMI categories and also the mother's parity. I considered family socioeconomic status percentile, which was derived from family income, education level, and occupation of the household head, and also the mother's social demographics and the offspring sex gestation age as the potential confounders. I fitted a multivariable linear regression model to predict the 3 to 36-month postpartum weight retention, but just for other gestation weight components and postpartum duration and potential confounders. And I did the same thing for the offspring 7-year BMI. Then stratify the sample by the pre-pregnancy BMI category and parity to look at the potential interaction. The result, so this table shows the sample characteristics of this of my analytical sample. Overall, the socioeconomic status was slightly below the median, and the mother's mean age was about 24 years old, pretty young, and equally proportional of white and African American. And have boys. So again, this picture showed the distribution of these four components. This table showed the means of these four components and also the total gestation weight gain and also the correlation between those components. So you can see among these four components, only the maternal tissue weight is very strongly associated with the total gestational weight gain. Among those four components, most of the their correlation was weak or moderate, except the high correlation between fetal weight and the placental weight, which the R was about 0.61. So this table shows the key results of my analysis. So the first column is the pre-pregnancy BMI category. So as previous speakers mentioned, when we consider gestational weight gain, we have to consider the mother's body mass index before pregnancy because it's very strong effect modifier. So I have this underweight, normal weight, overweight, and obese. So you can see the second column, that's the mean standard deviation for those components within each strata of the mother. And the third column shows the association between the each component and the postpartum weight retention outcome. So the numbers here show the mean difference in the postpartum weight retention for one standard deviation increment in gestational weight gain component. The reason I use the standard deviation is that you can see the standard deviation kind of varies substantially across those four components. So it's kind of fair to use the standardized estimation. So you can see for the postpartum weight retention, among these four components, only the maternal tissue weight gain is kind of strongly associated with the outcome. For the 7 year child body mass index, so you can see the fetal weight is the component that consistently and also strongly associated with the 7 year body mass index. Other components, some of them are significant for one strand but not for other, so to me it's not that consistent. So based on this, I concluded that the four gestational weight gain components had a different impact on the maternal offspring weight-related outcomes. So as I mentioned before, only the maternal tissue weight gain was associated with the maternal postprandial weight retention up to 3 years. Other components didn't play that big role there. For the 7-year offspring body mass index, however, the fetal weight was the component most strongly associated with that. The strengths of this analysis included large sample size and also research quality of most of the measures. And also, I think this was the first study to look at the, in this field, to separate these four gestational weight gain components. In terms of limitation, as I said before, this cohort was established during 1950s and 60s, so it's pretty, you know, historical cohort. So you can see from table one, the mothers and also family, child characteristics may be different from the current population. However, if we think there is a really biological effect of these four components, those biological effects may not change substantially with the time. Of course, we need replication to prove that. And also, the fluid and the maternal tissue weight were not measured directly, so there is some potential bias for that. And also, we didn't have the information on the mother's diet and the physical activity, which can be important compounders. In terms of limitation, I think the research in this field should distinguish the gestational weight gain components. And in future, I think it's possible to design some selective intervention on each of these gestational weight gain components. For instance, if we think about to reduce the postprandial weight retention, which is a risk factor for the mother's obesity, we should focus on the maternal tissue weight gain during pregnancy. In contrast, for the child obesity, so I think we should target the fetal excessive weight gain. In future, I think we should replicate this analysis in the other cohorts, especially recent cohorts, and also for other outcomes. And finally, I think it would be important to monitor those components of gestational weight gain during pregnancy, not just after pregnancy. So if we can do that, we can kind of target the components during pregnancy that we have better chance to achieve better outcomes. Finally, I want to appreciate the help from my co-authors from Brown University, Harvard Medical School, Brigham and Women's Hospital in CERN. So I appreciate the great work by the CPP researchers and participants. Finally, I want to appreciate the American Public Health Association meeting program. Yep, that's my talk. Thank you very much.